إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. وبعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، فعن أبي العباس عبد الله ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما قال: كنت خلف النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يوما فقال: يا غلام، إني أعلمك كلمات، احفظ الله يحفظك، احفظ الله تجده تجاهك، إذا سألت فاسأل الله، وإذا استعنت فاستعن بالله، واعلم أن الأمة لو اجتمعت على أن ينفعوك بشيء لم ينفعوك إلا بشيء قد كتبه الله لك، وإن اجتمعوا على أن يضروك بشيء لم يضروك إلا بشيء قد كتبه الله عليك. رفعت الأقلام وجفت الصحف. رواه أحمد والترمذي، وقال يعني الترمذي: حديث حسن صحيح. وندي ابن العباس رضي الله عنهما is telling us a story. Ibn al-Abbas, Abdullah ibn al-Abbas, is the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he is one of al-Abadila. Al-Abadila is in Arabic the plural of Abdullah. And these are, if you like, the younger generation that met the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, yet their fathers are Sahaba. Abdullah ibn al-Abbas, his father is al-Abbas ibn Abd al-Muttalib, the uncle of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Abdullah ibn Umar ibn al-Khattab is the son of Umar ibn al-Khattab رضي الله عنه. And he was very knowledgeable in al-Fara'id and in the particulars of ad-din, في الفقه. And also Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, his father is Amr ibn al-As, and he was known for his ibadah and also for his knowledge. These are three. The fourth is Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anh, and we know that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud was one of the younger sahaba, and he was also abreast with the knowledge of Al-Quran. And the fourth is Abdullah ibn Zubayr ibn al-Awwam. He was the first baby to born in Al-Madinah after the Sahaba radiallahu anhum immigrated to Al-Madinah. And he was known for his knowledge and for his strength. His mother is Asma bint Abi Bakr radiallahu anhu. So Abu Bakr is his grandfather, from his paternal grandfather, and Asma radiallahu anhu, ذاتُ النطاقين, the one who used to supply the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr with what they needed during the Hijrah. Al-Abadila, these are the younger generation that met the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And also, before I translate the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for Abdullah ibn al-Abbas in particular. He says, Allahumma faqihhu fi al-deen wa'allimhu al-ta'wil. He asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make Abdullah ibn al-Abbas knowledgeable of the particulars of Islam. وَعَلِّمْهُ التَّأْوِيلِ. التَّأْوِيلِ is the interpretation of Al-Quran. And the Prophet ﷺ, his dua is mustajab. Allah will answer his dua. In this particular story, Abdullah ibn al-Abbas is telling us that one day, he says, I was riding behind the Prophet, peace and blessing be upon him. When he said, young man, or ya ghulam, a boy, some interpreters of the hadith say he was 13. I have a feeling that he was younger than 13. He was a boy, he was a young chap, just about going about. He was riding with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Kana radif al-Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What was the destination? Allahu alam, of course. Because some people, even in the interpreters, they say, was it a camel? Was it? I mean, what does it matter? Let us just say what Abdullah ibn al-Abbas is telling us and see what we can learn. But he was with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would use every second in his life to apply his knowledge and to make sure that further generations will carry the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala further. He wasn't thinking like some of us, you know, when we are, you know, these are children, these are boys, you know. We just ignore them. That was not the attitude of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My intention, subhanallah, today is to talk about the upbringing of children. But I thought maybe just talking about one hadith, one situation, will give us a lot of knowledge, dear brothers and sisters. Sometimes we seek so much, but in one hadith there is so much knowledge that we can learn and apply in our lives. What was the Prophet ﷺ teaching, telling him? He said, I will teach you some words. Inni u'allimuka kalimat. So the Prophet ﷺ intentionally was drawing the attention of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma that he is teaching him. And Abdullah ibn Abbas is not any boy, is not any young chap like others in that category of younger sahaba radiyallahu anhum, as I mentioned just now. Be mindful of Allah. Be mindful of Allah, and He will take care of you. احفظ الله يحفظك. الحفظ here in Arabic is to keep something. If I keep my money in my wallet, or I keep it in a safe, or I keep my children very well protected, is احفظ الله, is really to feel that we need to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to remember Him always. I think, brothers and sisters, subhanallah, the mobile phone has been around for the last 20 years or more. I myself is an expert in network design. And yet, we haven't learned that when khutbah comes, if you touch your phone, فَقَدْ لَغَى. Switch it off, leave it in the car, unless you are a doctor or you are a fireman and you will be called for an emergency. That is something else. Because one ring, it distracts everyone and it distracts me. I am very, you know, my concentration is not that fantastic. So please, I had also a khutbah on technology and how to deal with technology. Switch off your mobiles, and we don't have to say that every time we are here. Jazakum Allah khair. I know we all make mistakes, me included. Be mindful of Allah and He will take care of you. Remembering Allah, watching for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as in another hadith, اتَّقِ اللَّهَ حَيْثُمَا كُنْتْ وَأَتْبِعِ الْحَسَنَةَ السَّيِّئَةَ تَمْحُهَا وَخَالِقِ النَّاسَ بِخُلُقٍ حَسَنٍ. اتق الله حيثما كنت. Wherever you are, you should apply piety. And I wouldn't say just fear Allah, because piety is a lot more than fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's remembering Him, it's thinking of Him, it's revering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. حيثما كنت. Wherever you are, alone, no one is seeing what you're doing, with people, abroad, at home, at work, in the marketplace, wherever you are, اتق الله حيثما كنت. And here the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is saying in a different perhaps words, be mindful of Allah and He will take care of you. If you are mindful of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will look after you. And in the narration of Ahmad radiallahu anhu, احفظ الله تجده تجاهك. You will see Him. You will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looking after you. You will feel His guardianship upon you. You will feel that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is guarding you, is guiding you, is looking after you. And it is true. If you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you have the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you think of Allah in every situation of your life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will look after you. And in the narration of Ahmad, he said, تعرف إلى الله بالرخاء يعرفك في الشدة. Which means that know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in prosperity. When you are okay, alhamdulillah, you have plenty, you are healthy, you are young, everything is working for you, you have a job, you have a beautiful wife and nice children and so on. You have everything, then you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this situation, because perhaps in another situation, you will not have the same health. Maybe your wealth will escape you. Maybe you lose your job. Maybe someone will grow away from you, your children, etc. So if you know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why you are, you think, yeah? كلا إن الإنسان لا يطغى أن رآه استغنى. That you are okay. You have everything. If you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you apply yourself as a Muslim in the situation where you have and you are okay and your health is fine and everybody around you loving you and so on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come to your aid when you are in need for Him, when you have hardship, when you start to lose your health, perhaps when you grow older, perhaps when you lose some of the beloved ones around you, or you lose your job. In this case, you have done your bit when you were okay, and now you need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We all need Allah every second of our life. And He will take care of you. Be mindful of Him and you shall find Him at your side. That's why, dear brothers and sisters, tasbih, dhikr, does not have a specific time. You don't have to have wudu, etc. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. All of this will remind you of Allah. So if the shaitan comes to you, or your soul, your nafs, tells you to do something which is beyond what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam allow, then you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you do that, you will find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at your side, coming to your aid when you most need Him, and we all need Him and at all times. If you ask, ask of Allah. إِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ. Rely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, that does not negate the fact that we have to take all the means in life to reach goals. But some of us, they overdo it. So much so that they have no tawakkur, no reliance on Allah. You have to do your bit, and then you say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help me. because my effort is limited, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his blessing is limitless. If you ask, ask of Allah. It is a good practice, dear brothers and sisters. Of course, we all need one another, definitely. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَرَفَعْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ فَوْقَ بَعْضٍ دَرَجَاتٍ لِيَتَّخِذَ بَعْضُهُمْ بَعْضًا سُخْرِيًّا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made us with different abilities and different ways of applying ourselves. Some people are good at something and others are good at something else, and we with the whole society will integrate and we help one another. But when you ask, it is a good practice that you depend on yourself. You don't go and ask people all the time, help me with this, help me with that. Okay, I'm not saying that you shouldn't, but try to rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Try to do it yourself as much as you can. Do not burden the society with your needs. Unless you do need, then of course you ask your brothers and sisters to help you. There is nothing wrong in that. If you ask, ask of Allah. Even if you ask people, in this case you need to understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have their hearts between his fingers, and Allah will make them help you or not. So even when you ask others, you need to understand that it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is helping you, not the individuals. He's making these individuals help you by his will. If you need help, seek it from Allah. Know that if the whole world, and this is another matter, remember that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is riding and Ibn Abbas is behind him, and he is making the use of time to teach Ibn Abbas so as to take that knowledge further, not only beyond the geographical limitation of Al-Madinah at that time and beyond, but also beyond the century of the Prophet ﷺ. Now we are learning here in the 21st century what the Prophet ﷺ was teaching Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. Because the Prophet ﷺ knew that that will happen by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these are the generation carrying the message from time to time and from century to century. Know that if the whole world were to gather together in order to help you, they would not be able to help you except if Allah had written so. So again, if you feel that the whole world, sometimes we are stuck in a situation and we need that help. But even so, we need to understand that if the whole world try to help us, they will only help us if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will that to happen. And with the same token, and if the whole world were gathered together in order to harm you, they would not harm you except if Allah had written so. And that also gives a great comfort for us. الَّذِينَ and that is the attitude of the believers, that if they were told, إِنَّ النَّاسَ قَدْ جَمَعُوا لَكُمْ فَخْشَوْهُمْ فَزَادَهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَقَالُوا حَسْبُنَا اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلِ. Even the whole world is gathering together against you as an individual, or against a society, or a community, or indeed, if you believe that the whole world is against Islam and the Muslims, you should know that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can allow that. And it is His will that shall allow that. So that should give you a great comfort and feel that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator and He is the Lord behind everything. If you rely upon Him, inshallah, nothing will come upon you. Good is by His will, and bad only if He allows it. Being with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remembering Allah, fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, every minute of our lives is the savior, is what really guards us by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, and if the whole world were gathered together in order to harm you, they would not harm you except if Allah had written so. And the hadith concludes, the pens have been lifted and the pages are dry. Now, of course, this is a subject of fate, al-qada wal-qadar, and it is beyond the scope of today's khutbah. We need to understand that we have to do what is necessary for this life and for the life to come. That is obvious in Islam. But if something happens to us, which is beyond our control, and it already happened, even if it was our mistake, then we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had written that. But not before. You cannot, before you do something, say, oh, but Allah written upon you not to pray, wal-iyadu billah, because that is what the mushriks used to say, that Allah subhanahu, if Allah willed, we would not have been idolaters with our parents and ancestors. That is not really the attitude of the Muslim. The Muslim will take all the precautions, all the steps towards being good in this world, and what brings good for him and the people around him and the world to come. But if something happens, a chap came to me, his mother called, and he said, a Muslim, and he was unfortunately under intoxication, and he had a big accident. Alhamdulillah, the cars were destroyed, no one was harmed, but he felt very, very remorseful. He's young, and beyond that, he needs, of course, there are elements of tawbah, elements of not doing that again, but there was a huge remorse in his heart that he ruined two taxis that the people, that, you know, the taxi drivers rely by the will of Allah on these taxis to provide for families. He was thinking he could have killed someone and so on, and he lost his job, of course, because he was driving his van outside work and so on. So it was a total destruction because he missed on Allah's command not to come near al-khamr, alcohol, not even not to drink it, but not to come near it, not to sell it, not to buy it, not to be present at a table where it is being served, etc. But after the incident happens, then we have to look further to say, okay, alhamdulillah, we do tawbah and so on and so forth, we don't come back, and inshallah we can come become better Muslims. No one should really in this situation throw this, make that person despair of the rahmah of Allah. We need to these people, whoever makes mistake, we need to tell them that Allah will have mercy upon you, Allah will forgive you, but you have to do the steps to do that. أقول هذا القول وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم فاستغفروه. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. There are so many things that we can learn. Also, we can learn from the narration of Ahmad, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal رضي الله عنه, which he says in the hadith, وما أخطأك لم يكن ليصيبك وما أصابك لم يكن ليخطئك, واعلم أن النصر مع الصبر وأن الفرج مع الكرب وأن مع العسر يسرا. Victory comes with patience, relief comes with affliction, and with hardship comes ease. But also, dear brothers and sisters, we learn that we need to have that interaction with our children, whether we think that they are too young or not so young, there are always lessons to be had. Traveling, for example, by car, I remember my parents, they were living in another city, and we used to travel quite often, and I had three little girls. Now, alhamdulillah, all are married with children. And we used to make use of that journey by having that family, because no one can leave. We are in one car, we are driving there for, I don't know, a couple of hours more or less. So we have that opportunity to recap on things, listen to anyone who really wants to say something, and also maybe listen to their Quran, you know, how your Fatiha is, and maybe even some, you know, some games that if you have very young children, to play with them, game that really have that bond between you and their kids. Our kids, dear brothers and sisters, are a responsibility that we need to take care of. The Prophet ﷺ was not too proud to have Ibn Abbas riding with him and telling him these extraordinary lessons that he learned and we are learning from. Take these opportunities now you have holidays to get together with the family, read a book together, have a game or something which is, you know, physical to make them run around, mental, and also maybe read a story about Sirah and so on and so forth. That is one thing. The other is also on commenting on the criminal terrorist attacks that we hear, not only in Europe, but in Turkey and in other places in the world. I read one hadith which says that if there are no three people in one village that they do not do the jama'ah, but ash-shaytan will overpower them. Now we are a community. We need to be a strong community. We need to be more than just individuals, individual Muslims. We need to be one community. We need to be a community that is responsible for our actions, responsible for our children, bringing them up in the right way. If you look after your kids at an early stage and you teach them the correct Islam, you will not see people who are losing their lives for I don't know what purpose. Someone think that if they blow themselves up, they will go to Jannah, and they blow themselves amongst innocent people who are traveling or want to travel, and they could be from any religion or from any ethnic background. It is really very, very distressful picture that we are seeing nowadays, and it's happening in various parts of the world. People think that they can pursue some political agendas or otherwise. Nevertheless, let us start from here as a community. Be strong, be connected, have relationship with your neighbors, have a strong bond with your kids, show them love, show them affection, be a role model for them. Going and bringing money to the house is not enough, I'm sorry to say, for the fathers and the mothers. You need to do a lot more than that. Even if you sacrifice some of that money to be with your kids and to see you as a role model and someone who is really they listen to. أقول هذا القول أستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم فاستغفروه. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. اللهم اغفر وارحم وتجاوز عما تعلم، إنك أنت الأعز الأكرم. اللهم عنا على شكرك وحسن عبادتك. اللهم عنا على تربية أبنائنا وأولادنا وبناتنا يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين وأعلي بالحق كلمة الدين. اللهم من أراد بالإسلام والمسلمين خيرا فوفقه لكل خير، ومن أراد بهم سوءا فاقصمه وخذه أخذ عزيز مقتدر. اللهم اغفر وارحم وتجاوز عما تعلم، إنك أنت العز الأكرم. اللهم رد هذه الأمة إلى دينها ردا جميلا. اللهم احفظ المسلمين في كل مكان، اللهم احفظهم في بلاد الشام، اللهم احفظهم في بلاد الغربة والغرب يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم احفظهم فوق كل أرض وتحت كل سماء. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. ولذكر الله أكبر، والله يعلم ما تصنعون. وأقم الصلاة.